You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
U.S. President Barack Obama's health insurance bill passed by a slim majority amidst death threats and months of bizarre tirades. Judging by the mainstream media, the only alternatives appeared to be the Obama bill or the Tea Party. Amidst all the sound and fury, an organization called Physicians for a National Health Plan, PNHP for short, worked hard promoting a publicly funded, single-payer national health care system. They are a 17,000-member research, education, and advocacy organization of physicians, medical students, and health professionals. Dr. Margaret Flowers is a Maryland pediatrician. She is also a congressional fellow for PNHP, and we've contacted Dr. Flowers in Maryland to get her perspective on the Obama bill that eventually passed. Good morning, Margaret, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Good morning, Mordecai. Thank you for having me.
Tell us, over the many months of debate on the health legislation, did either President Obama or any congressional committee seek the views of Physicians for a National Health Plan?
Well, we certainly reached out to the president from the very beginning and asked to be included and to meet with his advisors and be part of that process. And we were excluded by the White House. When we reached out to Congress, the closer they got to the process of actually bringing the legislation to committee, the more they tried to exclude us initially. So we actually had to stand up out of turn during a committee hearing and speak out, and were arrested for doing that. And following that, they did allow us to testify in further hearings, but it was obvious they didn't really take our views seriously.
And what do opinion polls, or what at the time that the discussion was going on, what did opinion polls reveal about the attitude, first of U.S. physicians to the proposal for a single-payer, publicly funded universal health care for your country?
Well, we have numerous polls over years showing consistently that both the American public and American physicians favor creating a national publicly funded health system. The most recent poll of physicians was done a few years ago, showed that 59% of physicians of all specialties support this concept, and that if you look at the primary care providers, it's much higher. It's in the 60s to 70s.
And for the American public at large?
We have numerous polls at the independent polls showing that the American public supports this. Around 65% of the public, which we find amazing considering that our mainstream media, because of its ties to the health industry, typically portrays this in a negative way.
Yes, it is. It is astounding from the distance here of Canada. One would never have known that. And the fact that neither Congress nor the White House were interested in a proposal which actually had majority backing from physicians and from the public at large. So it's a real charade, it seems, that has gone on as to what has been portrayed as the debate in America.
That's absolutely correct. We didn't see this as a debate at all. We had actually hoped that this would be an opportunity to have a real discussion of what was best for our people. But this path was actually determined prior to the election, and then it was really a matter of kind of marketing it and shaping public opinion to support it, and millions of dollars were spent to that effect. And actually, you know, the single-payer movement was very strong and grew quite a bit during this process. We formed coalitions of organizations, you know, representing tens of millions of people. And there were all sorts of actions that occurred, but they were just not covered at all.
Now that the bill is passed, I don't hear anyone saying the Obama health bill is ideal, but what we do hear is that it's promoted as a step forward. Do you agree with that?
No, we're very concerned because this legislation mandates that people purchase private insurance and then takes about $450 billion of our public dollars and gives that to the private insurance industry to subsidize the purchase of these insurance products. And so this industry, which had a very strong hand in shaping this legislation, this is what they required. They asked for a mandate and subsidies, and they got that. This will further empower them and move us in the direction of privatizing our health care rather than creating a, you know, an efficient, publicly funded and accountable health system.
One of the claims, though, that we hear here is that the bill provides universal coverage, which hasn't been the case. Will it be that everyone in the United States will, in fact, have health insurance?
No. In fact, the Congress actually admitted that at least 23 million people will be left out. They're estimating that it will cover an additional 32 million people in our country. We have around 50 million now who have no access to health care because they don't have insurance, and another large number that we consider to be underinsured, meaning that when they need actual health care, they find it difficult to afford that. So the 32 million is based over a 10-year period, and we know that our population is going to grow by more than that during that same period. We also know that in the past, when these types of claims have been made, they've never been met.
You mentioned that people would still be faced, even with the subsidies, that some people will be faced with having insurance, but still not the insurance not being sufficient to deal with real medical needs that they might have from illness, et cetera.
Correct. Part of the provision of the legislation is that private insurers accept people, that they don't deny people based on pre-existing medical conditions, which occurs quite frequently here. And as a result of that, we expect premiums to rise. So the choices that people will have in this country will be based on different levels of coverage. And what we anticipate is that the affordable premiums for most people will be the ones that have the least amount of actual coverage, which only cover maybe 70% of a person's medical needs. When we look at the caps that they've placed on out-of-pocket costs, we see that those are within the range of what we currently experience now in people going bankrupt due to medical debt. So we don't think that's going to change significantly.
And am I right that medical insurance would not cover abortions?
They did exclude federal funding for that, and so people will have to pay separately for that type of coverage, and we're concerned that the private insurance companies won't want to have to go through that, you know, collecting the funds separately.
Now, some have pointed out that the Obama bill is much like what has existed for some time as health insurance in some of the states like Massachusetts. Is it accurate that this bill is not terribly groundbreaking in that regard?
Exactly. Actually, this legislation is very similar to what was put forth previously by Republicans. So we found it kind of interesting that our Democratic Party passed a Republican health bill. But it's very much modeled on legislation that passed in Massachusetts in 2006. And we see that Massachusetts is facing difficulty in terms of controlling health care costs in their state and are starting to take people off of the rolls there, and that the people of Massachusetts, those who have purchased insurance, many of them still face significant financial barriers to getting needed care.
If you were an insurance company executive, would you have a grin on your face, a scowl, or just shrug at the Obama legislation?
They're absolutely celebrating. We're already seeing that in the, you know, stocks and the private insurance companies are rising. We saw it in their relative silence following the passage of the bill in the Senate in December. And, you know, that's what we're hearing, is that they're quite pleased with this, which they should be because they had a very heavy hand in shaping it.
Well, given that, where to now for the organization with which you have been working and campaigning, Physicians for a National Health Program? What are your plans in the face of what has happened?
We're optimistic because we've seen an incredible amount of energy in the last couple of months. We were concerned that people would get tired of this process and just kind of give up or say, you know, something has passed, so let's just see what happens. But we've seen quite the opposite. A lot of attention from local groups reaching out and wanting to hear from us. So we're building a campaign with other organizations. We work closely with a group called Healthcare Now, which is a nationwide grassroots organization. We also work closely with the National Nurses United Union, which is 150,000 nurses that are strong supporters of this approach. And so we are, you know, putting together resources to help build our grassroots movement and organizing, and we're going to continue to push for real reform.
Do you think the hope that some put in the Democratic Party has been shaken by the events?
We do see that. You know, this is the second time that the Democratic Party has had a majority and has tried to pass health reform, and you know, it's been relatively unsuccessful. They've this time passed something, but it's questionable the value of what they've passed. So we are trying to build an independent movement, an independent social movement that will push whatever party is in power to do the right thing.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret, for speaking with us this morning, and the best of luck for sure in your campaign to get something reasonable in terms of health care for Americans.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and we thank our Canadian neighbors for showing us a real model that works that we can tell our people about.
Good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Dr. Margaret Flowers, a Maryland pediatrician. She's also a congressional fellow for the organization Physicians for a National Health Program. And if you want to find out more about that organization, check their website, pnhp.org.